Good morning. I'd like to greet you this morning with the words of the Galatians 1:3, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to extend a hearty welcome to each of you that have come to worship this morning. And if there's guests, we're glad that you came, and we extend a hearty welcome to you as well. For an opening scripture passage, I have one verse out of Psalm 119, verse 105, where it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before your throne of grace, and Lord, we thank you for the dawn of a beautiful new day. We thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house, to open your word, and to allow you to speak to us. Lord, you know the needs of each one that is gathered here this morning, and I just pray, Lord, that you'll touch their needs in a special way. We pray for those that cannot be here and would like to. May you grant healing, if it is with health or other circumstances. Lord, may you provide for them. Lord, we thank you for your holy word and how we can open it and apply it to our lives. Grant us wisdom, grant us discernment as we open up your word, and as you speak to us, help us to live it out. Lord, we thank you for this country of ours where we can worship undisturbed in this manner. We pray for our government that they'll look to you for wisdom and discernment. We pray for the countries that are war-torn or experiencing flooding or famine. May you somehow reach out and touch their needs as well. And Lord, help those of us that have opportunity to reach out, whether it's financially or tangibly, to help those that are hurting. And Lord, we thank you for your love, for salvation so full and so free. We ask for a hedge of protection around us, Lord, as we worship this morning, ward off Satan and his forces that so often want to distract us and take our focus away from you. Lord, we commit this service into your hands. Use it for your honor and glory. We pray in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. This time we have some congregational singing, please.
Take your red book and turn to number 36, to thee, Lord, my praises be. Number 36.
Praises me, as in dust I bend in thee, as in humbleness I bend in thee. None to thee can e'er compare, Lord, accept my thankful prayer, Lord, accept my fervent thankful prayer. Lord, I give thee but thine own, base my faith. Lord, I give my faith on thee alone. Grant me earth sincere in mind, that in thee my all I find.
198, Anywhere with Jesus. 198.
As you came into church this morning, you probably noticed in the foyer there's a table with a stack of Bibles on there, and I'm sure many of you might have wondered, what is this all about? Our church board came up with the idea, and they bought a whole bunch of Bibles, and the message this morning is going to talk about how we can apply and use God's Word and how important it is to share it with others. So after the service, as you leave, we want each of you to take a Bible along, and it is not to be kept for yourself. Because I can make assumptions that everyone here has a Bible, and if you don't, then absolutely, please do take one for yourself. But the thinking is this, to share God's Word with someone that does not have a Bible. Whether it's a relative, whether it's a neighbor, whether it's a coworker, a fellow student, wherever you are, that you have a Bible with you or handy, that if someone needs one, you can hand it to them. It is a study Bible. Some of you might have seen them there. It looks somewhat like this. It's a fairly nice sized Bible, easy to read, some study helps, and it will help an individual if he or she takes the time to read it. An opening passage this morning was out of Psalm 119, and I'd like to go back a couple of verses. How the psalmist starts off in 103, and he says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." The psalmist, when he penned these words, his times were way different than your and my time that we are experiencing today. For them to be able to get a copy or to get their hands on a copy of God's word was difficult. It was rare, and when they were able to read it, they had to share it with others. And as they read the word, they recognized, as he says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste." And he's not talking about physical taste, but spiritually, it was something to be desired. He says it's sweeter than honey to my mouth. You know, and honey is probably one of the sweetest things that we can taste. And then he says, through thy precepts, you know, through God's teaching, he says, I get understanding. And then he says, therefore I hate every false way. You know, and as I go through the message this morning, we will see how God's word helps us to discern, helps us to recognize falsehood, helps us to see the truth, and how we can apply it to our personal lives. And it also should be an important thing in our minds that if you and I have gained this kind of understanding and God's word directs us, we don't want to hoard it and keep it to ourselves. We want to reach out to those that maybe are spiritually lost and have not committed their lives to Christ. And as they commit their lives to Christ, that you and I can place God's word in their hands and that they can use it for learning, for understanding, and for teaching and sharing with others. And then the psalmist in verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You know, at the time when the psalmist wrote these words, things, as I said, were different. When they wanted to light their pathway, whether they were going home or to another destination at nighttime, you know, they didn't have the powerful flashlights or lanterns that we have today. You know, today you can buy a flashlight that'll probably shine a full mile if you buy a powerful one enough. But back then it was probably a candle, maybe an oil lamp, and we know that it only light a few steps ahead of us. But the psalmist says, you know, as I take this light and I step forward, you know, by the time I reach my destination, the whole pathway has been lit. You know, it's such a beautiful example of what God's word does for you and me. Very often, we want to know what the future holds, what tomorrow may bring, or a week from today, or the list could go on of things that we anticipate and wonder about. But really, as we step forward in faith, read God's word and apply it to our lives, God will provide what you and I need today. He'll be there tomorrow. He will provide tomorrow. And the list goes on and on. He will always be there. And then when we might say life is drawing to a close and we're reflecting back, we could also say with the words of the psalmist, you know, your word was a light unto my path, or it was a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, it will help us every step of life's way. You know, sometimes people might say, well, I read it, but I don't remember. You don't take that credit away from yourself. Very often, we might read, and we might not right away fully understand or know how to apply it. But you know, it's remarkable how sometimes later, certain circumstances come along, and you reflect and you sort of remember, oh, I read. You might not even remember the exact place where, but I remember reading this, and you can apply it to your life. And nowadays with technology, you know, if we know a few keywords, we can search almost any scripture passage that we are looking for. But to nourish our soul spiritually with God's word is more important than nourishing ourselves physically with physical food. You know, and I've sometimes said, when we eat a good meal, we enjoy it. You know, and a few days later, someone might ask, what did you have on Saturday for supper? I don't know. You know, even though you don't remember, the reality is the food still nourished you and sustained you. Much deeper, spiritually, God's word. We might not always be able to recall exactly what and when and where we read or what we read, but it nourishes and sustains you for the hour, for the day, and for the time that you're in. So it is important that we look to God's word in all aspects of our lives. Sometimes I like to take the dictionary and just look at the meaning of the word. You know, and when I looked at the word Bible, one of the definitions was the book of sacred writings of the Christian religion. You know, our faith is deeper than just a religion. Your religion is following a certain set of rules, doing things a certain way, and the list could go on. And a religion seldom recognizes Jesus as the true Redeemer, the Savior, the one that died in our place and paid the penalty of your sin and my sin. We have probably all heard the term religious but lost. And we don't need to look far away from us. You know, it is happening with our own, within our own Mennonite circles. Maybe not as much today as a number of years ago, where traditions and a lot of things were trusted for, you know, or at least somewhat seemed implied upon. You got to do things this way, dress a certain way, and do things a certain way in order to have salvation. Salvation is alone through Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. So, yeah, the writings in the Bible are sacred. They're set apart. They're given from God himself. Sometimes the Bible is referred to as the guidebook for a Christian. And absolutely, you know, look to God's word for wisdom, for discernment, as you need to make decisions in life. I find it interesting how Jesus, God himself in human flesh, would quote scripture so often as he walked on the face of this earth. And one of the many examples that one could use, one that I want to use today, is found in the book of Matthew chapter 4. You know, it tells us, starting off, that Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. You know, 40 days of fasting, it's difficult for us to even fathom or imagine. And we can only imagine how we might yearn for a good meal or for some good food. And after Jesus had fasted, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, we read, "And when the tempter or the devil came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." You know, as much as food is important for our nourishment, but he says that alone isn't enough. You need to have spiritual nourishment. You need to read God's word. And God's word, he speaks it out to us as we read the Holy Bible. The Bible can help us resist temptations. You know, and as we would follow through with this instance where Jesus was tempted at three different times, Jesus always used God's word. And the last one, we're in verse 10, he says, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written." You know, notice it is written. He is again referring to God's word. "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." You know, a beautiful lesson. There is only one God, him we worship. Jesus was God in human form when he finished his mission here in this world to redeem you and me. He went back to heaven, and he's preparing a place for us to enjoy when physical life here is done. But notice, he said, "It is written." You know, we would do well, when someone contradicts us or tries to challenge us, to look to God's word. And if we don't have it right there and with us, to say, you know, give me a little bit of time. Give me a day or so. I will research. I will look into God's word. I will get back to you. You know, God's word is authoritative. It is the one that, it is his word that reveals truth. And that reminds me of the book of Acts in chapter 18. And I'd like to pick up in verse 24 through verse 28 of Acts chapter 18. And here's a story of two individuals loving someone enough to correct him with God's word. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. Now here's a man that was well learned. And it says, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. You know, this man was well-learned. He was educated, but he had one thing missing. He only knew of the baptism of John. He didn't know about Jesus Christ and the remission of sin through Jesus. But he was fervent. He had a fire. He taught. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, who, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So here's two individuals. How could they recognize something was missing? Because they knew firsthand what the scriptures taught. They understood, and they loved him enough not to criticize him publicly or put him down to others, but to take him apart and to expound God's word to them. And then it goes on, and when he was disposed to pass into Archaea, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. You know, so the disciples sent letters ahead of him already. You know, when this guy comes to you, he's solid. Listen to him. Exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. You know, Priscilla and Aquila extended grace. They didn't extend criticism or were harsh with him. They extended grace. And then in verse 28, it says, this same Apollos, he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly shewing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. He didn't just rely on hearsay. He used scripture to preach the truth of Jesus Christ. You know, it doesn't tell us he was too proud to receive instruction or admonition or correction. He, once he was corrected or once he was taught, he preached the full gospel. Today, we have the advantage of the full gospel of Jesus Christ. His death, his resurrection, his return to heaven, we understand much better than they did in the day of Apollos. So we have an advantage, and let's not misuse that advantage, but let's use God's word in a constructive way. And God's word revealed the truth to Apollos, and it'll reveal the truth to you and me today. In the book of Romans, in starting off in chapter 1, first of all, in verse 1 and 2, where the Apostle Paul, he writes and he says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. You know, he says, I'm called apart, we might say, to preach the gospel, which he had promised aforetime by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. He was testifying. You know, there was prophecy of the Messiah coming, of Jesus coming, and he says, I am telling you of the fulfillment of that prophecy. And in verse 3 to 7, we continue just to expand on the comments made. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God's word, the Bible, is holy. It belongs to God. It is set apart for God's service. It comes from God, and let's never forget, it is sacred. That is why it is called the Holy Bible. And we should never be afraid to speak of what God's word teaches us, and we should be willing to share it with others. And then in the same chapter, in verse 16, The Apostle Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Then 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Can we all say, "I am not ashamed of the gospel"? You know, how do you and I live out our faith? Do we show others that it is the power of God, that we have been redeemed, and we have salvation through God, the fulfillment of God's word, through Jesus Christ? And he says in verse 17, "That is how we have righteousness. The just shall live by faith." And as we understand, we can't help but want to share it with others. And God's Holy Spirit will help us to understand his word as we read it. And in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2 and verse 12 to verse 16, the writer says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God." How profound is that? We don't have a worldly spirit, but God's spirit lives in us the moment we became a Christian. "That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." And then verse 14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." You know, as we commit our lives to Christ, he grants us understanding. He helps us to expound and to share God's word with others. We should never, as I said earlier, be ashamed. We shouldn't hold back, but allow the gospel to speak to us as we read it. And if we don't spend time reading it, it won't speak into our hearts. So it takes commitment. It takes dedication. And I know from firsthand experience how easily it is to sort of, later. And then before you know it, the day is done and God's word hasn't been opened. We need to open it daily, allow it to speak to us, and apply it to our lives. In Galatians, in chapter 3, and verse 10 to verse 14, we read, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." So if we just want to live under the law, want to live under, we might call it, man-made rules, he says, there's very little hope, in other words. "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith." You know, the law of the Old Testament in itself does not make us just. It doesn't justify us. We have to have the complete gospel of Jesus Christ. "And the law is not of faith," in verse 12, "but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree." You know, Christ took that curse of the law on himself, allowed it to be nailed on the cross. He allowed himself to be buried, and he resurrected on the third day, providing spiritual victory for you and for me. We should praise and thank God for that victory that he has given to us. Also in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 6, we have a whole list of the armor of God that we need to put on as a Christian to help us to resist the attacks of Satan. But I'd like to focus a little bit on verse 17, where he says, "And take the helmet of salvation." You know, this is protection for our mind. "And the sword of the Spirit," which is what? Which is the word of God. You know, apply it, put it on. And how do we put it on? Is by spending time in it. God's word is the, we might call, the Christian's spiritual weapon against Satan and his attacks. Also in the book of 2 Timothy, in chapter 3, and in verse 16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and then tells us what it's to be used for, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, God's word, number one, is inspired by God himself. And it is good for us to use it to instruct, to teach doctrine, for correcting, for instruction in righteousness. So let's apply it into the depths of our heart and let's live it out. And that you and I may be, as he says here, thoroughly furnished, you know, that we can bring forth in what he calls good works, that we live out our faith in a positive way. And then one more passage before we break for a time of prayer and a congregational song. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, where it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, he says God's word, and a two-edged sword was a very lethal weapon in the day when this word was written. It would cut going in and coming out if a soldier applied it to an enemy. And he says God's word is sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It shows us what is right. It makes a distinct cut between right and wrong, and it shows us how we can live a life that is pleasing to God. Before we continue, let's take the opportunity, and for those that are able, let us kneel for a time of silent prayer. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our many prayers. Amen.
Take your blue book and turn to 292, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Could we stand?
The path.
Trusting the Lord has heard all our prayers, we're encouraged to continue with our message this morning. In the book of 1 Peter in chapter 2, verse 2, it reads, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." You know, most of us have probably had opportunity somewhere to observe a baby. And when a baby is hungry, they fret, they cry, and they make it known. And once they are fed, they are very content. You know, and it sort of is like us in our spiritual lives. You know, when we become a Christian, that initial step, there's a lot of desire to learn and to grow and to be fed spiritually. And hopefully we had someone come alongside us and to teach us and to help us. But then somehow as we grow older, we become a little more complacent and we sort of don't spend as much time as we probably should in God's word. And I'm making some assumptions here, and I'm not saying this is true for everyone. But young babes, they have a desire to grow. And likewise, in God's word, you know, at first we might be eating or finding nourishment from the easier stuff, if we want to so call it. But then just like a baby, as they grow, they start eating solids, and eventually, as they grow into adulthood, might enjoy a good steak or other good meals. But spiritually, so important that we don't remain babes in Christ, but that we grow, that we spend time in God's word and feed our soul. God's word, the Bible, is there to help us to grow in our spiritual life. And we need to remember, as I said earlier, God's word, or all scriptures, inspired by the Holy Ghost. It is like a letter that God wrote directly to you and me. It is personal, and we need to apply it to our personal lives. In 2 Peter in chapter 1 and in verse 16 to verse 21, Peter says, and this is true for all of us, he says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables." You know, he says we're not just following some good idea or even bad idea that somebody had. We're not a cult that follow one individual. "We have not followed cunningly devised fables. When we were made known unto you the power, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Peter says, we are sharing with you what we have seen firsthand and what we have experienced. You know, when you or I share the love of Christ with someone, are you sharing hearsay, stuff you've heard across this pulpit, or are you sharing firsthand experience of what you've read and gleaned from God's word? And then in verse 17, Peter goes on and he says, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory, which then came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" No, at Jesus' baptism, if you recall, when he came up out of the water, there was a voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Peter is saying, I witnessed that. I'm sharing that. You know, when we read God's word and we share it with someone, we can we say, I've read this. I've witnessed this. I've experienced this. This is what I'm sharing with you. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. You know, we have our sure word. We have something that is solid. We have something that we do well to apply to our lives and to share it with others. And then verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You know, when we share, when we witness to others, let's make sure we're in tune with God's word, that we're in tune with the Holy Spirit, and that we're not sharing personal ideas or personal interpretations, but that we're sharing what God's word is teaching us. God's word is practical in all aspects of our lives. In 1 John in chapter 2, just one example of how practical God's word is a teaching that we all do well to apply to our lives. 1 John 2, picking up in verse 15 to 17, where John writes, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, simple, plain, straightforward. You know, all the things in this world, they have their proper time, their place, and it's not meant that we can't enjoy them. But he says, don't love them. Don't trust in them for your security. Don't trust the things you have for happiness. You know, the word happiness is derived from the word happenings. It's totally dependent on things that happen to you or around you that might make you happy. But joy is derived from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. From the depths of your heart and soul, that is true joy. That is a true love for Christ and not love for the things of the world. And then he says plainly, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He says, you know what I said earlier, but God's word sharper than a two-edged sword. Well, he's very straightforward and very sharp here. If you love the world, the love of the Father isn't there. You can't be divided. You serve one or the other. And then he reminds us, verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And then he reminds us, verse 17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know, as we do life, regardless of where it takes us, do it in the will of God. Serve him, honor him, glorify him, be in a relationship with him, and that is something that you will take with you for all eternity. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 22, verse 18 and 19, we read, for I testify, every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in the book. You know, these verses, and it has concerned me over the years, have often been used to support the use of a certain translation. You know, and I'm not saying that all translations are good. And we as a church have chosen to use the King James Version, and I respect that and support that. But much deeper. These verses are telling me as a pastor, they're telling you as an individual, if you add your own personal understanding to God's word, you're adding to the word that he's teaching us. Or if you leave out certain truths, you're taking away from that, from what God wants us to teach. And especially for us as pastors, for Sunday school teachers, for youth leaders, and the list could go on for anyone that is influencing people and his or her position as a teacher, if we add our own interpretations, we're adding. And it is a serious offense. And he says, if you're going to do that, your name is going to be taken out of the book of life. And if our name is not in the book of life, there's only one option, and that is to end up in hell. Let not this ever scare you of sharing God's love and God's word. But what I want to bring out is the seriousness of sharing God's word in its entirety. Don't just pick a verse here, pick a verse there to support your own personal thinking. Read in the broader context. And I know I'm sharing this today, probably 90% of you are saved and you're well aware of these contexts. But also there's those that are not as spiritually mature. Let us grow. Let us be open to learning. And let's be willing. If someone comes to us and says, you know, you maybe have got this a little bit wrong, let's not become defensive, but let's open up the word. Let's look at it. And let us come to a conclusion and teach what God's word teaches us. And as we share, as we've gained knowledge, and as we've gained wisdom, and as we've gained nourishment, let's share it with others. And that's why we have the Bibles available today. We want to encourage each of you to take one with you, not just one per household, for each person. And if you don't have someone in mind today or tomorrow or a week from now, that is okay. Keep it handy. And if you meet up with someone that needs God's word, give it to them. Have it handy in your truck or your car or wherever you go. Have it handy in your home. And if you need more copies, they're here. They're available. There is no limit. And if we run out, we'll make sure we get more that you can share God's word with those that desire it. Coming back to ourselves personally, let us read God's word. Let us apply it to our lives. We will get strength and courage to live out by not just praying alone, but being a part of a group, a part of a Bible study. The list could go on of how we can interact, have relationships with others, and to grow in our spiritual faith. In the book of Mark, in chapter 1, and in verse 35, talks about Jesus and how it says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Jesus separated himself. Jesus, God himself in human flesh, he needed to have some alone time. You know, you and I need alone time. Alone and yet not alone. Alone with God. Allow him to speak into our hearts. Allow him to speak into our soul and mind and to teach us and to guide us and to lead us. Jesus needed to. We aren't anywhere near what Jesus was. We need to do that and follow that example as well. We need to gain spiritual nourishment by reflecting on God's truths. In the book of Colossians in chapter 2 and verse 6 and 7, Paul writes and he says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Sometimes it's easy to be thankful when things go well, when they go what we might think is my way. But you know, sometimes when things go a little south and a little difficult, be thankful. You know, there's always things that we can find that are positive, that we can be grateful for and thankful for. And as we become a more thankful individual, we will find that we appreciate the things we have been taught, the things that we are learning, the things that we're gleaning out of God's word. And I want to encourage you, glean, set yourself some time, separate yourself from the busyness of life, and spend time with Christ. And it is my prayer and desire that everyone could honestly reflect with the words that we opened up with, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, verse 105. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God and Father in heaven, we come before your throne of grace at the close of our service. And Lord, we thank you for your holy word, for how it helps us to discern, how it blesses us, how it encourages us, and how it instructs us and shows us right from wrong. And Lord, I pray that your word will go forth out into the field and to harvest what those that you want to call in. Lord, enable each one here to place your holy word in the hands of someone that is struggling and desiring to be fed spiritually. Help us to be in a relationship or mentor these people as they come to a saving knowledge of Christ and as they desire to learn from your holy word. Lord, bless us all. Bless the hands that will be sharing your word as we go out this week or in the days to come. We pray in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. For any concerns that are in your heart, remember, we can come before God's throne of grace at any time, wherever we are. And for those that are able, let us kneel for a time of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our many prayers. Amen.
Let's take your blue hymnal and turn to page 487, Amazing Grace.
Good morning. I thank Brother Art for sharing the Word of God with us this morning. Thank you. Some announcements. Tonight, here at 7 p.m., Edward Clausen will be performing Paraguayan folk and harp and keyboard. So you're all invited to that. Also, there's a reminder from the Resolutions Committee. Resolutions to be dealt with at the 2022 Brotherhood meeting need to be presented at the Resolutions Committee to the Resolutions Committee by August 7th. They can be reviewed by the ministerial and be distributed to all churches for review, reflection, and prayer. The resolution will then be voted on at the annual Brotherhood meeting. Also, there was a small Bible found in the church here. We're not sure whose it is. There is a bookmark in there that says, "To Esther from Lisa." So if it is yours, please come see me or the caretaker afterwards. Thank you. And finally, there was an announcement that was supposed to be in the bulletin. Lord willing, we will be having a deacon election here in Winkler for the English service on September 13th at 7:30 p.m. I, Deacon Peter Fraze, have decided to retire at the end of this year. And I've been blessed to have been given the opportunity to serve in this position, and I thank the church for that. I wish to give someone else this opportunity to serve in this capacity, and the Lord will call him, and I pray that we will all prayerfully support God's will. And I also want to I don't take the time very often to thank all the volunteers in church for their roles. And I noticed today we have a new piano player, and I thank you for stepping up and filling that position. My song leaders and my fellow ministerial, and all the song, sound men and ushers, I thank you all for your part. Thank you.
Thank you, Pete, for sharing the announcements this morning. We're somewhat saddened and sorry to see you retire, and yet we wish you God's richest blessing as you start a new chapter after retirement. I want to thank you for coming this morning. Thank you for your support. Your prayer support is felt, and may God bless you for that. And as I mentioned, the Bibles are on the table in the foyer. If we run out, there's more available. Maybe some of the church board members will make sure the table gets replenished. And if we do run out totally, praise God, we'll try and get some more available as soon as possible if needed. Let us bow for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Ye may now go in the peace of our Lord.